Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. With all of the news about high gas prices, pain at the pump, the topic for this week's program is fossil fuels and the administration's policy. And my title is, Why Does the Left Hate Oil? And to begin with, I have to admit, I love oil. To borrow a phrase from Forrest Gump's friend Bubba, you can barbecue it, boil it, bake it, saute it, fry it, pan fry it, deep fry it, stir fry it. Almost everything we have is made from oil. The clothes you're wearing is made from oil, the nylon, the dyes in your clothing, the paint on your walls, the carpet under your feet, the upholstery in your furniture, the roads you drive on, the tires on your car, the gaskets, the seals, the upholstery, the trim is all from oil. The packaging of your food comes from oil. All of the plastics in your kitchen, in your children's toys, in electronics, it all comes from oil. The insulation on wires comes from oil. Oil heats your home in the winter, cools your home in the summer, makes the vinyl siding on your home, it makes the roofing shingles. And by the way, it also causes your chariot to go without horses. Oil is a great blessing. Oil is carbon. This one carbon molecule, C12 on the periodic table of elements, can be turned into a billion different carbon chains, completely changing its properties. Protein is a carbon molecule. Your DNA is carbon. And plants are all made of carbon. And after they die, they transform into gas, coal, and oil, which can be burned, putting carbon back into the atmosphere for the plants to absorb. If there was no carbon in our air, every single plant on Earth would die. To borrow a phrase from Benjamin Franklin, oil is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Well, he said that about beer, but I think it applies better to oil. So here's a big question. Why do those on the political left hate oil? And I'm sure everyone knows that the premise behind that question is true. The left is in a war against fossil fuels. I shouldn't have to take an entire program to prove this point, but with all the quotes from the left opposing oil drilling, cars, pipelines, refineries, it's quite obvious. Everyone knows that those on the political right are all about drill, baby, drill, and those on the political left are all about stop the burning of fossil fuels. With the rise in gas prices, the Biden administration has been talking a lot about oil these last few days, blaming it all on Putin and the oil producers. But what's nice about the modern internet is that we can go back and read stories about the 2020 campaign and about Biden boasting that he's going to shut down the fossil fuel industry. I'm sure the administration doesn't want to dig up those stories. Here's one story from February 2020. In the campaign, Biden is speaking at a rally in New Hampshire. Quote from Biden, "We are going to get rid of fossil fuels." Well, just to prove the point, here's that clip.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels. Come on. Folks. That's okay. These guys are okay. They want to do the same thing I want to do. They want to phase out fossil fuels, and we're going to phase out fossil fuels.
And here's another story from the AP, March 2021. Biden was 2 months in office. Explainer, why is Biden halting federal oil and gas sales? Quote, President Joe Biden shut down oil and gas lease sales from the nation's vast public lands and waters in his first days in office, citing worries about climate change. Now his administration has to figure out what to do with the multi-billion dollar program without crushing a significant sector of the U.S. economy, and while fending off sharp criticism from congressional Republicans and the oil industry. Environmentalists and others who want a more aggressive action against climate change say a ban nudges the economy in a new direction. Biden wants to substitute fossil fuel production and consumption with policies that promote renewable energy on public lands, such as wind and solar power. The federal government is a huge player here. The government has market power, says attorney Max Sorinsky with New York University Law School Institute for Policy Integrity. If you restrict the supply of oil and gas, you alter the market and you create a better environment for more sustainable fuels. And that's exactly what the Biden administration did. They altered the market and the price of oil has doubled. Here's a piece from John Kennedy, the governor of Louisiana. He's protesting Biden's ban.
Today, President Biden has issued an executive order that bans all new oil and gas drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and on other public lands throughout the United States. Now, look, I'm not going to bubble wrap this. This is bad. This is really bad. This is devastating to America. We'd just become energy independent, but this is devastating to Louisiana. Our GDP in Louisiana is a little over a couple $100 billion a year. I've seen studies that show fully a third of that is related to oil and gas, directly or indirectly. This is not just going to impact oil and gas jobs and families. This is going to hurt petrochemical. It's going to hurt our refineries. This is going to cause people to leave our state. If we lose all these jobs and people leave, the average age in Louisiana is going to be deceased. I'm very upset.
So there's a clear difference between the Trump administration's policies that resulted in $1.95 a gallon and the Biden administration's policies that's resulted in $4.50 a gallon. Here's an article from 2.5 years ago. Fossil fuels create jobs, so why do Democrats hate them? And the article focuses on how Trump promoted oil production and it caused the economy to soar. Quote, thanks to President Trump, his energy deregulation, America has become the world's leading producer of oil and natural gas. This has created a huge boom in jobs and higher wages for blue-collar working people who used to be the backbone of the Democrat Party. Mr. Trump's economic expansion resulting from deregulation and tax rate cuts has created nearly 6 million jobs since Mr. Trump took office. Unemployment has consequently plummeted to its lowest level in 50 years. And unemployment is now at its lowest level in American history for Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Asian Americans. That means Mr. Trump is leading the most inclusive economic recovery in U.S. history. Though it's not widely reported, Mr. Trump's economic policies have led to middle-class wages soaring. As Steve Moore reported in the Wall Street Journal, real median household income reached more than $65,000 in July, which is also the highest in America's history. That is a gain of $4,144, or 6.8% under the Trump administration. More recent data shows middle-class wages have increased by more than $6,000 after taxes since Mr. Trump took office. All this prosperity is not due simply to the oil, gas, and coal workers themselves. Low-cost, reliable fossil fuel energy boosts manufacturing because manufacturing is naturally energy intensive, helping to increase jobs in a variety of sectors. So why do the Democrats hate fossil fuels? This article ends by stating the Democrats are beholden to radical environmentalists. And that's true. Even with gas prices exploding, last week, according to a report from Politico, the Congressional Progressive Caucus is planning to demand that Biden uses his executive power to declare climate change an emergency and ban all drilling on federal land. even canceling past permits. Those 9,000 permits, the administration is claiming, that are already available to the industry. And here's a story. A guest on MSNBC said what the left is trying to keep quiet about, that higher gas prices will force the public to accept the truth of green energy. The left actually wants gasoline to be $7 a gallon, and that's why California put such a heavy tax on gasoline. Here's President Trump warning that if Biden's elected, gas will be $7 a gallon.
We have more oil than anybody, okay? And it's an incredible thing that it's happened over the last few years, a lot of great things, and you're paying, what, $2 a gallon for your gasoline? That's okay. You know what that's like? That's like a tax cut. That's bigger than a tax cut. If Biden got in, you'd be paying $7, $8, $9. Then they say, get rid of your car.
And everyone laughed at Donald Trump. Oh, he's such a funny fellow. He's just exaggerating. Well, now we have the first signs of it. In Southern California, gas at $7 a gallon. I want to show you a piece from Bill O'Reilly indicting the Biden administration for its foolish energy policies that have pushed oil prices through the roof. Here's that video.
I told you before the election, you put this man in office, even if you despise Donald Trump, it's going to be bad. I didn't think it would be this bad. No one did. But he is a puppet of the progressive left. And can we now just stop the progressive left? Can we stop? The big thing here is that Joe Biden weakened the infrastructure of the United States by attacking the fossil fuel industry. He did not have to do that. Once he did it, inflation exploded because gas and oil and all the other fossil fuels cost more money because Biden's administration was strangling the industry with regulations, stopping pipelines, making it 10 times harder to operate. All right? So he weakened the fabric of this country. If we had a robust fossil fuel industry, Europe wouldn't need Putin. We could supply all that energy. But Biden tried to destroy it because of the Green New Deal. Can we have a hiatus from that, please, in the face of perhaps a world war? Please? You don't destroy your energy infrastructure until you have another one developed to take its place. Biden doesn't know any of this because he's not smart enough and he's weak and he's a puppet of the progressives. That was the big thing that allowed Putin to make billions and billions of dollars by selling energy to Europe when we could have done it and amass an infrastructure where he says, I don't care what they do to me. I got $600 billion. That's on Biden. And Biden goes, oh, we're going to all have to pay more. Why? Because of you, Joe. You. And your stupidity by taking a theory and harming the biggest economic concern we have in the United States, fuel. Oh, it drives me nuts.
So I notice how angry Bill O'Reilly gets here. That helps him to make the point emphatically. I'm just as angry because these civil leaders are destroyers. They destroy all the good things built up in America. They make life harder on other people. Just like Jesus said, they lay heavy burdens on men's shoulders and are not willing to lift the burden with so much as a finger. They are the Deuteronomy 29 rebels who turned the good watered land into a desert. But I'm not the kind of guy who gets overly emotionally angry over destructive government policy. I'm more of a Romans 8:28 guy. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God, I'd be angry all the time. But just because Christians don't have to worry doesn't lessen Biden's culpability. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe to those through whom the offenses come. What really stokes righteous indignation is that in the last 2 weeks, Biden has been out there saying his policies have nothing to do with high oil prices. Here's a clip of Biden and then Psaki making that claim.
It's simply not true that my administration or policies are holding back domestic energy production. That's simply not true. Even amid the pandemic, companies in the United States pumped more oil during my first year in office than they did during my predecessor's first year. We're approaching a record levels of oil and gas production in the United States, and we're on track to set a record oil production next year.
The reason why the price of gas is going up is not because of steps the president has taken. They are because President Putin is invading Ukraine, and that is creating a great deal of instability in the global marketplace.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Even before Putin's invasion, gas prices were already double what they were under Donald Trump. If Biden had the same energy policies as Trump, Putin's invasion of the Ukraine would have made no difference in American oil prices. And the problem is not simply the Biden administration's energy policy. High prices are due to government deficit spending. Listen to this clip where Biden denies that inflation is due to government spending.
I'm sick of this stuff. We have to talk about it because the American people think the reason for inflation is government spending more money. Simply not true.
Every economist knows that the reason there is inflation is because the government is spending trillions of dollars more than it takes in. To do that, the government has to print more money. Under Biden, the money supply has increased about 20%. And when the money supply increases, prices of commodities increase accordingly. They will lag by a few months, but eventually they'll catch up with a vengeance. During the Trump years, the economy was doing so well, it absorbed much of the money expansion. But now that there is an economic downturn, the effects of money printing is starting to kick in. You can see the increase in the money supply in this Federal Reserve graph. So it's a lie to say that inflation is not caused by government spending. It's an outright lie, or, you know, Biden is just extremely ignorant of how the economy works. Speaking of lies, Biden also said he is the first president to lower the deficit by $1 trillion. Well, of course, in the last year of the Trump administration, an extra $1 trillion was spent on the COVID crisis. That was a one-time event. And when Biden took office, he was back to a normal budget. But the normal budget is still growing the national debt by $1 trillion a year. So that statement from Biden is meant to deceive by not telling the whole story. Biden also stated last week that the U.S. pumped more oil in his first year than in Trump's first year. Biden said this to make it appear as if his policies did not cut back on oil production. Well, of course, they were less in Trump's first year because Trump was inheriting the energy policies. But what Biden didn't tell is that in Trump's second, third, and fourth years, more oil was pumped per year than in Biden's first year. Oil production has gone down under Biden, but notice how Biden carefully picks certain years to make it seem otherwise. Joe Biden is a liar. He always twists the story to relieve himself of responsibility and to make himself look good. I could do a whole YouTube documenting this. Joe Rogan recently did a podcast where he was talking about Biden's record of lies. Quote, Biden would lie about his experience. He would lie about his background in education. He lied about his record. He lied about graduating in the top of his class. He lied about having more than one degree. He lied about marching with Nelson Mandela. Then Rogan's guest added, I think there's people who don't value truth. They don't value honesty. I think they just want to win. Rogan then said, I think he's always wanting people to think of him highly. So, I believe we have established the fact that the political left is in a war against fossil fuels. But again, the question why? Especially given all of the good things we get from fossil fuels, you know, all those good things I mentioned earlier in the program, you would think that everyone would love the blessing. But that's exactly the problem here. Some people do not see the blessing. They take the blessing for granted. They forget how miserable the world would be without the blessing. One of the common errors in sinful humanity is despising the blessings of God. Reaping all the blessings of family and then turning around and saying, we don't need the family. The government can replace the family. Or reaping all the blessings of economic freedom and then turning around and saying we need to do away with economic freedom and turn to communism. Or reaping all of the blessings of being born into this world and being cared for by loving parents and then turning around saying we shouldn't have to care for our children, we need to promote abortion. Throughout the Bible, the wicked have always taken their blessings for granted and eventually begin to despise their blessings, turning against them. They always bite the hand that feeds them. The unsaved world not only despises God, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 4, they despise the Holy One of Israel, but eventually the unregenerate heart begins to despise all of the blessings of God, their country, their heritage, their founders, their natural resources. While the godly are saying Psalm 16:6, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, indeed, my heritage is beautiful for me. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the ungodly become ungrateful. It's part of their subconscious nature. And they have grievances over everything. They become grumblers, fault finders. Jude 16. And they begin to hate the earth and all of the goodness God has put within the earth. They become fearful and suspicious of everything. And they even begin to despise the gift of life itself. They promote the culture of death. Their art, their music becomes dark. And the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, they despise him. Isaiah 53:3, he was a man despised. And if you despise someone, if they send you gifts at Christmas time, you won't open them. You'll criticize them. You'll send them back. You might even destroy them. And that's how the unsaved world is with God and his gifts. And as man's hatred of God grows, his hatred of God's good gifts will also grow. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be haters of the good. So whatever's good, these people will hate. And I remember, you know, hanging out in high school with unsaved friends. If someone had something better than they had, they would destroy it. If a neighbor put out something on his lawn that was nice, they would say, hey, let's break that up. If the state built a new bridge or put up a new park bench, they would deface it with graffiti. And they would think in many ways that they're being righteous in doing this. There's no logical explanation for it. The unsaved mind just begins to hate good things. While God loves us and wants us to be happy, the devil and his people hate humanity and want humanity to be miserable. The land of Canaan is described as a good land, a land in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 9. So, wow, you can build things, you can mine for ore, you can smelt metal. But as Israel departed from God, we read in Psalm 106:24, and they despised the pleasant land, just like Esau despised his birthright. Genesis 25. And ungodliness always leads to a state of poverty, to third world conditions, where people lose all motivation to tend the garden, to subdue the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, in laziness and ideological paganism. They sit in front of their grass huts and they do nothing. So let's be careful not to become conformed to the world in this, subconsciously listening to the flesh and becoming a hater of the good gifts of God, becoming fault finders, thinking we're defending some social justice cause or some environmental cause. The despising of the good always parades under some false righteous justification. Now, this might all seem like a stretch when it comes to an explanation for why the left hates oil, that it's linked to a hatred for the good. Most often in addressing the subject, I would simply point out that those who are against fossil fuels have wrong values. They have a wrong understanding of oil. They have an unnatural worship of nature. But this hating of the good is something to be considered. Many motivations, you know, happen on a subconscious level. And there really is no logical or scientific reason for this war on fossil fuels. It has to be coming from an immoral worldview. Now, some would say, hey, it's not a hatred of oil, it's a hatred of pollution. And we get that. But CO2, the main complaint, is not a pollutant. It was deemed a pollutant by the ideologues who were looking for a cause to shut down fossil fuels. But which came first? The global warming hysteria or a hatred for fossil fuels? I believe history shows that it all began with an ideological hatred for fossil fuels, and then excuses were found to ban it. Now, granted, there are many uneducated people who have been duped into thinking that CO2 is a pollutant, and they believe they're fighting for clean air to breathe. But the whole global warming movement was started by those who had an a priori belief in that the earth is sacred and shouldn't be touched, because we're here to serve the earth rather than the earth being here to serve us. Like Al Gore writes in his book, Earth in the Balance, quote, Native American religions offer a rich tapestry of ideas about our relationship to the earth. Then Al Gore quotes from an Indian chief, will you teach your children what we have taught our children? That the earth is our mother. This we know. The earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. All things are connected like blood that unites us all. So that's a complete reversal of what Genesis says about man's relationship with the earth. Then Al Gore goes on to praise pre-Christian pagan Europe, which worshiped nature. He writes, prehistoric Europe and much of the world was based on the worship of a single earth goddess, who was assumed to be the fountain of all life and who radiated harmony among all living things. The last vestige of organized goddess worship was eliminated by Christianity. It seems obvious that a better understanding of a religious heritage preceded our own by so many thousands of years, and it could offer us new insights. So, like all radical environmentalism, Al Gore is turning back to paganism for his philosophy of the relationship between man and the earth. And it is one in which man serves the earth rather than the earth serving man. And that philosophy has policy ramifications. And guess who started the whole global warming conspiracy theory? Al Gore. I guarantee you that if in 20 years, the government completely eliminates gasoline engines and everyone is driving electric cars, that will not be good enough for these environmentalists. They will eventually say that electric cars have to go because it was never about CO2 in the first place. It was never about global warming. It's about a worship of nature, that any activity using the earth is despised. So again, there was this a priori belief that fossil fuels must be bad because it's using the earth. And that belief looked for a justification to condemn the burning of fossil fuels. And they found it in CO2. Now, I have to cover this point again in the time I have left. CO2 only makes up 0.04% of the atmosphere. Not 20%, not 10%, not 5%, not 1%, not even 0.5%, but 0.04%. And the complaint is that CO2, before the industrial age, used to be only 0.03%. And that's even debatable. But the complaint is that this 0.01% increase of CO2 is going to warm up the atmosphere to dangerous levels, since CO2 is a slightly larger molecule than the typical oxygen molecule, and therefore it'll absorb more heat. And there are plenty of scientists who say that conclusion is absurd. Not only would the effect be minuscule, but the plants on Earth could actually use some more CO2. There will always be an equilibrium. The more CO2, the more the plants will absorb the CO2. In fact, since most of the world's landmass is frozen tundra, we could probably use a little bit more global warming. But it's unfortunate that a 1/100th increase in CO2 is not going to help us accomplish that. Now, good Judeo-Christian-based environmentalism in the past had a case against acid rain. Power plants were putting out sulfur and nitrates in their exhaust, which was causing acid rain, and that was hurting plant life. But in the 1980s, that was easily solved by putting in all of these scrubbers. So now these power plants are putting out clean CO2. And cars now have catalytic converters. And so the environmentalist religion lost their case against fossil fuels and their indictment against drilling for more oil. But then the ideologues started to push this theory that CO2 itself must be dangerous, that it might be warming up the environment and we can't have that. It was a made-up problem to shut down a certain activity that these people despise for ideological reasons. Beginning in the 2000s, the EPA started calling CO2 a pollutant, what is called greenhouse gas. 12 states took the EPA to court, saying that under the Clean Air Act, the EPA did not have the right to declare CO2 a pollutant. In 2007, it went to the Supreme Court, and the judges agreed with the EPA, assuming that they were the experts. And Congress, as usual, didn't step in to clarify the authority of the EPA. So now the government is working to set up carbon credit systems where carbon emissions are taxed. And it's been said if the government can only figure out a way to tax the air you breathe, it would do it. Well, they figured out a way. So when Biden came into office, he raised the carbon credit price from $7 a ton under Trump to $51 a ton. And a federal judge recently blocked that action from the Biden administration because the increase was not based on any science. It was simply that the Biden administration wanted to make burning fossil fuels more expensive and prohibitive. So after this judge ruled against what the Biden administration did, Biden retaliated by making a ban on all new drilling on federal land, making it permanent. Quote from the New York Post, the White House moved last week to freeze indefinitely new federal oil and gas drilling. Why? Because a judge ruled the 51 per ton figure it was using to calculate the social impact of carbon from fossil fuels artificially boosted cost estimates for new drilling. So instead of following the judge's ruling and lowering its estimate, the president simply turned everything off at the tap. And this article was from February 22nd. You didn't hear about that in the news, did you? But the administration is out there saying they have nothing to do with high gas prices, that they're not hindering oil companies. So the CO2, greenhouse gas, global warming, climate change movement is the biggest scam and lie put upon the American people. I mean, there's all of this talk about COVID-19, the vaccines, and the masks being a scam to enrich big pharma, but that is nothing compared to the global warming scam. You want to know how deep this conspiracy goes? News report, Republican legislators are asking the Treasury Department to launch an investigation into whether Russia secretly funded U.S. green groups that advocated against U.S. oil and gas production. Because there's evidence that the Russians were funding three American environmental groups to get America to throttle back the oil industry. Why? Well, that meant higher prices for Russian oil if America stopped producing so much oil. And it's been already disclosed that the Russians secretly promoted environmental groups in Europe to get Europeans to stop fracking so that Europeans would have to buy Russian gas and oil. That's not speculation. This is fact. Quote, in 2014, the same year Russia annexed Crimea, NATO's Secretary General Rasmussen warned that Russia was covertly working to undermine European and U.S. fossil fuel production. Rasmussen, who was also the former Prime Minister of Denmark, said, "I have met allies who can report that Russia, as part of their sophisticated information and disinformation operations, engaged actively with so-called non-governmental organizations, NGOs, environmental organizations working against shale gas to maintain Europe's dependence on imported Russian gas," unquote. So the Russians know how valuable and necessary oil is, and they can use useful idiots in the West to take down Western oil production. Here's an interesting article. U.S. Senator slams John Kerry for keeping climate office top secret. Senator Dan Sullivan is calling out climate czar John Kerry for refusing a public record request for details about his staff. So apparently, our climate czar is refusing to reveal what he's doing or how many people are on his staff. The State Department office, which is over the climate office, said Sullivan's request does not demonstrate a compelling need for the requested information. So they're not giving it to him. So in closing, why should Christians even discuss this topic? Shouldn't we just preach the gospel? Well, true, but part of preaching the gospel includes graciously pointing out false gospels. Even the Old Testament prophets, in communicating God's saving truth, had to rebuke the false teaching in their day. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 8, "But they are altogether stupid and foolish in the discipline of delusion. Their idol is wood." Jeremiah 10, 14. "Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them." Isaiah 41:29, "Behold, all of them are false. Their works are worthless. Their molten images are wind and emptiness." Now, we understand that this condemnation in the Old Testament is against idolatry, the worship of stones and trees. But in our modern age, the same error exists. It's just not closely associated with religious superstition. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, "The sin of man is still the worship of the creation rather than the creator." And Christians are all for real environmentalism, where we wisely use the earth's resources. But what's happening in this world is this new religion of environmentalism. It's an anti-gospel in regard to the causes and the cures for man's dysfunction. And these people really do worship nature. And they value nature over more important values. Victor Davis Hanson, in a recent editorial, called these radical environmentalists green immoralists. Why? Because, as in all immorality, immoral people invert the proper hierarchy of values. Quote, thousands are dying from Russian missiles and bombs in the suburbs of Ukraine. In response, the Biden administration's climate change envoy, multimillionaire and private jet owner John Kerry, laments that Putin might no longer remain his partner in reducing global warming. Climate change moralists love humanity so much in the abstract that they must shut down its life-giving gas, coal, and oil in the concrete. And they value humans so little that they don't worry in the here and now that ensuing fuel shortages and exorbitant costs cause war, spike inflation, and threaten people's ability to travel or keep warm. The Biden administration stopped all gas and oil production in Anwar in Alaska. It ended all new federal leases for drilling. It canceled major new pipelines. It is leveraging lending agencies not to finance oil and gas drilling. It helped force the cancellation of the EastMed pipeline that would have brought much-needed natural gas to southern Europe. And in just a year, it has managed to turn the United States, the greatest oil and gas producer in the history of the world, into a pathetic global fossil fuel beggar. And that's truly immoral. And there are many people in coming to Christ for salvation who have to repent of and turn from the religion of environmentalism. In this month's edition of Christianity Today, they included the testimony of Doreen Virtue. The headline, "Please don't read my books anymore. I was a best-selling New Age author. Then God showed me my works were detestable in his sight." And this testimony is amazing because here is a woman who was selling her New Age self-help books, doing seminars all around the country. She told people how to find their inner peace and how to find world peace. She was living on a 50-acre ranch in Hawaii, plenty of money from book sales, living the high life. She was pushing yoga, astrology, divination, Eastern meditation, the worldview of Buddhism, Hinduism, shamanism, Celtic goddess and earth worship. And she was twisting Jesus' words to justify her ideology. Doreen Virtue was an extreme example of modern paganism. But the same ideological nonsense can be found in radical environmentalism. These people are not Christian-thinking, God-centered people. Well, amazingly, in 2015, while Doreen was driving her car, she heard a sermon on the radio by Alistair Begg. He was given a sermon on 2 Timothy chapter 4 about those who will not endure God's truth, sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to myth. She realized that the Bible was talking about her. She had turned aside to myths. And of course, that had to be the Spirit of God performing a miracle in her life, because look how many people who are similarly deceived but never have their eyes opened. Doreen writes that while she was reading the Bible, she was broken, deeply shamed, and humbled by the words, "I dropped to my knees in shame and sorrow. I am sorry, God. I kept wailing in repentance. I did not know. On that very day, I gave my life to Jesus as Lord and Savior." And as Christians, this is what our message is all about. We're not simply trying to turn people into political conservatives. Now, that might be the byproduct of coming to the truth. And for some people, that might be what all they get out of the Christian culture. But the goal is much more than that. The real issue isn't about fossil fuels. That's just one tiny, tiny sign of one's worldview. The real issue is about turning your life over to God and putting yourself under the authority of the Word of God. And in that, God grants salvation, a new heart, a new soul, a new purpose. One goes from being in the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So thanks for listening. Subscribe, share, like, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.